The seventh Sunday after the Epiphany. The first lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come?' How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. But when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it as body, as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I greet you once again in the loving name of Jesus Christ this morning. Larry was a troubled man. He had been in trouble with the law most of his life. He had committed so many violations, and he was now under arrest. And he appeared before the judge, who listened to all of the evidence and charges against him. Larry was found guilty of all of those charges as was presented. The judge pronounced the sentence for Larry in punishment for what he had done. The court bailiff began to lead Larry out of the courthouse and into beginning his sentence. But just then, the judge stepped down from his bench. He took off his robe and he took Larry's place. The bailiff took the shackles off of Larry and put them on the judge. And then he led the judge away to begin serving Larry's sentence. Larry was free to go. Now, letting that sink in just a little bit. What if you were Larry? What would you be thinking? What would you be feeling if that happened to you? What a relief, right? How could this have happened? Would you recognize that this is a wonderful second chance that had been given to you? Would you turn your life around and become a law-abiding citizen from then on? Would you be grateful to the judge for having taken your place? Or would you just go back to your old ways and get in trouble all over again? Would you say to yourself, well, I'm now free to continue doing what I had been doing in the past? Well, as you can imagine, this scenario is similar to what Jesus did for us. The exception is that our sentence would be eternal death. But the judge, Jesus, took our punishment for us. So how do you respond to him for doing that? Are you relieved? Are you turning your life around in grateful appreciation to him? Are you listening to the judge, to Jesus, because of what he did for you? Or are you just disregarding what happened altogether? Well, I urge you today to listen to the judge and what he has to say for the rest of our lives. Because I think we would want to respond to him for doing that, for giving us his mercy, for giving us his grace, because we're grateful to him. So how do we respond to him for doing that for us? He has shown us immeasurable love, right? And so, would we want to respond with love also? Well, today's gospel lesson from Luke chapter 6 tells us how we should respond. But you know what? It's a tough lesson. It's a tough lesson for us to get across, to think about. Because Jesus is teaching us how to respond to this new life that He has given us already. Jesus said, "But to you who are listening," and I hope everybody is listening, "I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Now that's a tall order for much, you know, for us, because of much of mankind's history has been the exact opposite of that. You know, the world and our experiences would teach us that we're supposed to punish our enemies, right? Show them we're stronger. Teach them not to mess with us. And in a perversion of our worldly life, we're supposed to conquer our enemies and keep their stuff. That's been the template of human behavior down through history, right? To love them is not natural for us. Jesus also said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, most of us could go along with that, right? I mean, we don't go out of our way to be bad to somebody, right? Unless they are bad to us, and then all bets are off. Jesus continued, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Uh-oh. That's the biggies, right? Because we love to judge others, don't we? I mean, you know, we know what's right. And we know when others are not following the rules, right? We like to put ourselves on that judge's seat, don't we? We can condemn with the best of them, right? Forgiveness? Forget about it. As I said, it's a tough lesson for us to apply to our lives. But we have to realize that through faith in the judge, we are the ones who are forgiven. We are the ones who are not condemned. We are the ones who won't be treated harshly anymore. So why can't we treat others that way? After all, that's what the judge asks us to do. But some people have hurt us badly. There's just some things you can't forgive, right? Really? How about all the things that we've done to God and He's forgiven us, right? Now you might be tempted to say, "Well, we didn't do those things to Jesus." Oh, yes, you did. Jesus went to the cross, was killed because of the things we did. And you know what? He still forgives us. He still forgives us when we ask Him. You see, God forgives us not because anything we do is worthy of being forgiven. He forgives us because He loves us. He forgives us because He values our relationship with Him over anything, that any kind of grievance that He might have against us. He's willing to pardon us. He's willing to take our punishment away from us if that brings us back to Him. Think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He denied he even knew who Jesus was. And yet, Peter was sorry for what he did. And Jesus took him back. Jesus loved him and gave him a new sense of purpose of how to serve. when Thomas doubted that Jesus even rose from the grave. Did Jesus condemn him? No. Jesus lovingly showed him his hands and his side and then invited him to believe. You see, when we sin against God in any way, He offers us forgiveness that we can receive as the full measure of His love. He wants us to do the same thing to other people, regardless of if they're friends or loved ones or enemies, all people. As Jesus said in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." But as I said this morning, that's not easy for us to apply, is it? We need help. And you know what? God is just standing so ready to give us that help so that we can help those who we think don't deserve it. You remember last week I talked about aligning our priorities with God's priorities. Well, this is part of that alignment. Instead of jumping up on God's judgment seat, He wants us to look toward the heart of the person who has wronged us and remember that we ourselves receive God's compassion. We're to value our relationship with Him over whatever we consider to be worldly justice on the people that have wronged us, so that we can give those people grace and mercy and love where none is deserved. I mean, look at our first lesson today from Genesis 45. Here in this lesson, we see Joseph. Joseph was in Egypt. And before that, his brothers were jealous of Joseph because they thought their father loved him best, right? And so they set out to do him harm. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for his brother Reuben, they would have killed him. But they didn't. They threw him down a well to begin with, and then they took him out and they sold him as a slave to merchants that were going into Egypt. And Joseph had a lot of hardship in Egypt when he was there. But because God was with him, he eventually prospered and he became powerful in Egypt. Joseph had plenty of things, plenty of wrongs that he could have avenged himself with his brothers. But in our lesson today, we see that Joseph realized that he'd been given that life by God as a gift. That God was blessing him so that he could be a blessing to many other people, including his brothers. He could have easily and probably lawfully sent his brothers to death, or at least to prison for what they had done to him. But he loved them. He forgave them. In our lesson, it says he told them, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." You see, when we give mercy, when we give grace, when we show other people, regardless of who they are, love, just like Joseph did, we reflect God's love, and therefore we please Him very much. We can receive His Holy Spirit to be able to look toward the person who wronged us and separate them from their actions. And we can do that through prayer. We can ask God to give us the ability to look past the wrongs that they have done to us and fill our hearts with grace and forgiveness. Then we acknowledge Him as the judge, not us. He's the one who will set things right in His time and in His way. We're not able to right all the wrongs that there is, right? You know, and bring about final justice. And so we look to Him to do it. Now, I mentioned about separating a person's actions or words from the person themselves, right? When Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged," He wasn't saying that we shouldn't point out scriptural error or, you know, the error of a person's way that is contrary to what God wants done in this life. Sometimes people will use this passage to turn a blind eye to what they see and what they know is contrary to God's word that He wants done or not done. Jesus is not saying here that we should become indifferent to sin and evil when we see it so much in the outside world that we live in every day. All of us, including the Christian church, are guilty. Guilty of not speaking out when we see something going wrong with the way people act or what they say that we know is contrary to God's word. That's how the corruption in this world has grown over the centuries. It's proper that we judge things in terms of what Jesus teaches and what is contained in His word. It's proper that we evaluate what the truth is and what error is. We need to point people in the right direction, and that direction is toward God if we see that they're off track. In fact, not to do so is not loving them, because if they don't change, their afterlife will, quite frankly, be deadly. You see, there's a difference between condemning a person and condemning their action or speech. Jesus certainly pointed out the way the Pharisees had gone wrong, you know, with the way they were acting contrary to God's law, even to the point of making them so angry that they wanted to kill Him. But Jesus' warning to us here is about finding fault with others based on our personal pride or our personal prejudice against the person. He's warning about non-scriptural judgment because we might feel superior to someone else. You know, that's the way the Jewish authorities were acting back in Jesus' time. You know, they were superior to the riffraff, you know, the common people that they were governing. They lorded over them and judged them to be inferior. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You see, all of our human judgments about people are inferior, are rooted in our sin. That's why we leave the judging of people up to God. What we measure out to give to other people should be a good measure of Christian love. Jesus said, "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Because whatever we measure out for other people is what's going to be measured out for us. I mean, think of it this way. Our ability to show love, our ability to show mercy or forgiveness is a gift, right? A gift you can give to someone else because it's been given to you. God wants you to give away that love, much like I encouraged the little ones a little while ago to give away their candy kisses, right? Because you saw what happened. When they gave away their kisses, they got much more in return. He doesn't want us to hoard our gift of love that we got from Him and not show love to anybody else, including our enemies, including those who wronged us, even if your gift is undeserved, even if your gift is unacknowledged, even if your gift is unappreciated. Because I guarantee you, your treatment of others is noticed. Your treatment of others will be acknowledged. And if it's loving, it will be appreciated by the one who counts, the judge himself, Jesus. Can you imagine what this world would look like if everyone listened and followed what Jesus said in our lesson today? We might not be able to change the world in this way, but we can begin to change our little portion of it. We can leave the world changing to God, but it's got to start somewhere. Why can't it start with us? We can give a good measure of God's love to other people. You know, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into our laps. To me, that sounds like a pretty good recipe for a good life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.